friends. We're between games here at the game table. And before we get into the next one, it's discussion time. This is Table Topics, where we read stories from Reddit having to do with situations in the tabletop world. We will react, discuss, and give our opinions on the chosen topics for you to enjoy and possibly take back to your gaming table. I'm your host, Kaylee, and my guest today is Nate.
Hey, guys.
Today's topic is long games. So let's get into it. So Nate, as a board gamer, do you have any feelings about long games?
I have to be in the right mood for long games, for sure.
Yeah, I think you know what you're getting into. There are time periods where even just looking at the size of a game box, I'm like, oh, no,
yeah.
I can't, not right now.
Yeah.
Not today. Like, I need something.
My first time playing Dune Imperium, I went over to somebody's house to play it. And it was like 2 hours in and we just learned the game. And I was like, well, great. This is the day.
Yeah, no, for sure. But then there's sometimes that's so cool, because when that works and when you're in that, like when I learned apiary at the retreat, like that was super fun, especially once you pass that like 30, 40 minute mark where everyone's starting to get it and make it work. But yeah. Of course, I knew Dune Imperium before I went to play apiary. So, but yeah, I think a lot of people in the hobby are into long games. And we're going to cover some stories today where maybe they aren't, or maybe a certain long game has become more painful, or some of the situations that you get in when you're sat down at a long game, when you've committed. So we're going to start with one that's more general and we'll get more specific. I think we're even going to dig into maybe some ghosts of your personal past as well. So buckle up.
All right. Looking forward to it. Let's dig up those bodies.
Okay. So our first story is from r/AITA. And it says, am I the problem for trying to concede in a long board game I wasn't enjoying? They say, so my favorite board game is to run D&D, since I like to be creative. But wife and friends like to play others such as Catan, Power Grid, Carcassonne, Ticket to Ride, etc. I'm not good at these, but I do okay and it's fun enough. Occasionally though, I will get absolutely boned on dice rolls in something like Catan Seafarers, or stuck with -50 and Ticket to Ride with all opportunities blocked, and I'll just be sitting at the table for over an hour with zero options except crawl one step closer to the inevitable loss. In these cases, I would simply rather say, I surrender and go do or play some other more fun game or activity. And yet, I have been called a jerk for doing this once or twice. Am I the problem?
Yes.
Okay, would you care to elaborate?
Yeah, let's dig into that a little bit. So, first off, that's a relatable story. We've all had some bad luck on our side during one of these really long games that is traditionally, you know, hard to come back from. Like Catan and Ticket to Ride, both of them, if you get blocked, it's sometimes very hard to come back from. And I get that, you know, that's a rough situation. And you're right, it sucks, because you sit there and you're like, well, what am I going to do now, right? But one thing that I think the OP left out of this story is that, I mean, the reason you play these games in the first place, the reason you're playing with your wife or your friends or whoever, right, is to spend time with them, you know? And so that's the biggest, we'll call it red flag, right? Is that it is a little bit like taking your ball and going home, or not even taking your ball in this case, but you know, like it's a little bit spoiling everybody else's fun to say, oh, I'm not going to win, so I'm not going to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It is something that's very common. It is a position that we all get into. Especially your first time learning a long game, I think.
Yeah.
At least for me, I expect to land somewhere maybe in the middle, or even if I lose, like you kind of have to ride it off as this is just a learning experience. Or you can get focused on like, oof, well, that was just a horrible string of bad luck. And now I don't want to be here and I want to be doing something else. But like you said, it's about spending time with the people that you're there with. And then if you do treat it as a learning experience, you can do better the next time.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can get better at the game. But the other thing to keep in mind on some of these games is that, like, even if you quit and leave and the game continues, because Catan has multiple, you know, more than just two players, sometimes that changes the dynamics of the game, too.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're going to leave, then all of a sudden your actions have had an impact on the game because you've opened up areas close to where you left or something like that. Unless there's a really good reason, like, oh, I've got to go take care of my kid or I've got to, you know, I frown upon, you know, leaving a game half finished in the middle while the rest of the players keep playing. I think the other thing about OP's post there that's a little weird, and maybe we're getting a little bit of an unreliable narrator situation here, where, I mean, did I hear it right that OP said his favorite game is to run D&D?
Yes. So my favorite board game is to run D&D. That was the opener.
Okay, so I mean that throws up a few red flags for me personally, because I mean running D&D is very different than being an active participant player in a board game. D&D is quite different, a quite different tabletop game than most board games, right? You're not, that's not as collaborative as many other board games, many other tabletop games, you know? If you are constantly the DM and not playing and working with other with the other players at the table, it sounds like maybe you're not used to, or maybe you're not, you don't like not being in control or something like that. So I don't know. It feels a little off there, where maybe we're getting some unreliable narrator. Maybe this OP doesn't like to collaborate, likes to be in charge like a DM would be, you know. I don't know. It feels a little off, though.
Yeah, you know, Dungeons and Dragons and role-playing games in general, it's a different form of collaboration. And if he's the one, or this OP, they don't give a gender, but if they're the one that likes to be on that side of things, likes to see behind the curtain and know what's coming and all of those kinds of things, then it could be something of a control issue, which is, if the result of this game falls outside of my control past a certain point, then I'm not interested in seeing the rest of it.
Right.
Yeah. It's a little hard to make that call, but I think that's a big clue there is, I like this kind of thing and having this kind of position, and then all these other games are, you know, frustrating. I mean, even the way he phrases it, like, I get boned on dice rolls or stuck with minus 50.
We can talk about, though, one of my favorite things to do if I'm completely losing.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite things to do if I know I'm going to lose, sometimes you can be the decider of who wins.
There's a term for this.
Okay.
This is called king making. It comes up on all r/board games all the time.
Oh, okay. Good. So I'm a king maker, is what you're saying.
Yeah. So you get to choose who else at the table might come out ahead. Mm-hmm. If you're definitely behind, you choose who to sabotage.
So OP, hot tip. I mean, number one, we all get you because the board games, especially one the ones that you mentioned, you can get pigeonholed and can't get out of the hole, mm-hmm. you know? But if you find yourself in that position, you might try to make your wife win and then, you know, brownie points.
Yeah. It's not bad advice, I suppose. Funny enough, this writer, this OP, has deleted their account and this post. So much like these board games, they have rage quit Reddit.
Oh no.
But I already had it written down, so haha. But let's look at some comments because there's some good ones on here. Here's the top comment. You're the problem, sorta, but I get it. The problem is these games only work if you all stick it out until the end, even if there's no way for some players to dig themselves out of a hole. Do it for your friends and pour yourself another drink.
Always good advice.
Yeah.
Do it for your friends, pour yourself another drink.
I mean, mostly good advice. But yeah, it's about the collaboration that goes back to spending the time with these people and having this activity.
Yeah. Presumably you started this game because you liked these people.
Yes. So this commenter responds to that one, as similar to what you said as well, which is once you know you're not going to win, the game changes to seeing if you can sabotage the one in the lead. Once you start losing, start playing for spite instead of winning. That always spices things up. There you go. Okay, here's another one. You're the problem. You're quitting because you're not winning. You're taking your ball and going home. Just don't play. Board games are about spending time with people you enjoy. If you can't have fun because your train isn't the longest, you should just sit out entirely. There's a different deleted user that responds to them and disagrees. They say, I don't get this though. OP is not quitting because he's losing. He's forfeiting because he's so far behind that there's no chance of a comeback by the end of the game. I think it's much ruder to force someone to continue playing a game in which the outcome has already been decided. I find no joy or fulfillment continuing to beat someone who I know is too far behind to make a comeback. I don't understand what's so wrong about acknowledging a loss and playing another round, rather than continue to draw out a decided game for another hour.
Yeah, I can understand that viewpoint if the game is actually decided. As we mentioned earlier, often these games have many players, you know? I think Catan can go up to 6 or something, right? With expansions, maybe more. I don't know. I don't play Catan very often.
Get him!
Yeah, get in the comments.
Get in the comments.
So yeah, I mean, it's decided that he's going to lose. It is not decided who's going to win, though.
Yeah, I think that's interesting because in sports, of course, there is mercy rule. There are these things. I'm a pickleballer. I play pickleball with people and we've been playing a lot of cutthroat because we've only ended up with 3 people the past couple of times. And that has been a very important rule. So it is a thing. But yeah, unless there's like a clear, I mean, work it out amongst your table.
Yeah.
If there's a really clear winner and it's better that you guys start over or you start something else, go for it. But if you're the only sourpuss in the equation, then yes, you're going to get this feedback of being called a jerk for walking away because that's what it's going to look like because that's what it is.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously mercy rules a thing, stuff like that. But also, I mean, there are some games where I'm winning and I'm trying to get to a point, right? Like, let's say I'm in Catan and I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to get longest road. The moment that it's obvious that I'm going to get in longest road isn't as satisfying as actually getting longest road. Does that make sense?
Because if you could cut off everyone else, I'm curious what the distinction is there.
So what I'm saying is, like, you know, sometimes games have a satisfaction to getting to the completion portion.
Okay.
Right? You know, like, for instance, you know, if in Catan, you know, I'm going for longest road and I've just got to connect my two little pieces to make it and it'll actually get the longest road fully and things like that. If somebody, before I'm able to, like, put the last puzzle piece in, says, oh, well, clearly you're going to get it, so you win, bye. That could be really unsatisfying as another player.
Yeah, you're right. Cutting off that moment is also painful. Like, it can be detrimental to your friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So even in two-player games, I mean, I still think it's a little bit of a discussion. I get the mercy rule idea, and I get the idea that, you know, like, you don't want to just beat somebody when they're down, right? But also, maybe your friend was working towards something great, and they were excited that their system worked, and they're gonna get it done, you know? So.
No, that's true. This is something I'll say a lot when it comes to gaming too, is that, like, you don't know where somebody is in their life in that day. Maybe they really need this longest road because they've had a terrible day otherwise, and you don't want to be the one that ruins that.
Yeah.
So keep up with your mental health.
Yeah. Yeah.
Play board games. That's just a thought.
Hashtag board games over therapy. Oh, wait, no, that's...
Don't go so far. So that was a story of perspective of someone who feels stuck in a long game and wants to quit because something is preventing them from winning. So now we're going to swing the other way and look at the perspective of someone who has not so accidentally cut someone else off at the knees.
Hmm.
And is effectively preventing them from having any chance of winning. And they're asking the same question from the other side. So this comes from r/AITA. And it says, am I the problem for being ruthless in a game? Every Thursday, I get together with a group of people and we play board games. We all have a lot of fun usually. This past Thursday, we were playing Firefly, the board game. I was ahead, by a lot. One of the players had a ship nearly full of contraband, which is taken away if the Galactic Cruiser lands on you. He pulled a card which allowed me to move the Federation Cruiser directly onto him. It was move one space and he was adjacent. This set off a chain reaction of very unfortunate circumstances that completely crushed him. By the end, I was so far ahead, it wasn't even a contest. Another player was also adjacent to the cruiser, but had no contraband. The unfortunate circumstances were in no way related to me, but kicking them off with the Alliance cruiser was completely on me. Basically, I was winning by a good margin and made that margin so wide that no one could possibly catch up. Which, in hindsight, may not have exactly been fun from their perspective. How hard should a gamer go in pursuit of victory with friends? And did I cross a line?
Dude, go all the way. Cut them off the knees. Beat them down. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, good question, first of all. Because... you're right. Sometimes you win and you feel a little bad for winning because of how bad you've won. Can't say I've been there, but I imagine everybody who beats me really badly feels bad.
That's 100% true.
That's definitely how
it is. That's definitely true.
Anyway, good question. My initial thoughts are, no, you're not the problem. You know, you were just doing what was best for the game. I mean, I'll be honest, I would have if I had the choice to move the Galactic Cruiser onto somebody who would hurt, you know, somebody who that would do a lot of damage to versus somebody who would do a little damage to, I would choose the lot of damage one too. That's part of the game.
Yeah, I think we all would. Like, if you had chosen the other person in this situation, or if you had moved it to like an open spot, say that was an option, everyone at the table would have looked at you like, what?
Yeah.
Like, it would have been very obvious that you were conceding to this person, which doesn't feel any better than being crushed, I feel like.
Right.
Like, I talked about this in the very opening episode with Jared and Ian, was that, like, one of the fun aspects of board games is getting to see people set things up and then cash them in. Like, getting to see people, their plans paying off, you know? Like, even if it means that you lose, like, that's such a cool moment is, you know, when somebody finally plays something related to their, like, victory cards or whatever and just, like, racks them up. Like, it's so fun for me to see that part of it, even if I'm sitting there at the end going, well, great. Like, you know, I think you really enjoy that. You and I have an example of the first time we played Flamecraft with the Companion Dragons. You had Manny, who's named after the creator of that game.
That's why he's the best.
He was very good. And I think his power is, like, if you can place a dragon on a shop that has another meat dragon on it, you also get to flamecraft with that meat dragon. And you lined it up such that there was, like, one empty slot at most of the shops on the board, and they also had meat dragons. And you just sat there and, like, that one, and then I get to go to this one, and then I get to go to this one, and then I get to go to this one. And I was genuinely sitting there watching myself lose in real time as you just racked up all these points. But that was so cool. I'm gonna remember that because I was like, I gotta get Manny the next time I have a companion dragon. And that's okay. Like, that's part of it. And I think that's very okay. So unless you were, like, being a real jerk to your friends after doing this, I think fair play to you.
Yeah.
Great job.
Yeah. The story as you've told it, not the problem, I feel like. Also, we got to look at this from the perspective of the guy that stole a bunch of items right in front of the cop and said, if I get away with this, this is going to be awesome.
This is going to be great.
You know, like,
yeah,
I mean,
my Icarus instinct here to fly as close as I can with a ship full of contraband. Darn.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it probably sucked for that player, but also if I was that player, I'd have been like, I took a gamble and it didn't pay off.
Risk is a huge part of so many games. Like, even something as basic as blackjack, I mean, hit me and then it's a 4 and you're great, or it's a 10 and you've busted. Like, that's a huge part of it. Yeah, I think they're probably not mad in this situation, and you're probably fine. Or if they're mad, is it sort of good faith frustrated? Like, is it a situation where they're like, oh man, well, it would have been 20 points and you would, you know.
Yeah, if I was that guy at the party later, I would have been saying the thing that that annoys everybody else, which is, yeah, but if it had rolled differently, I would have won. You know, like,
yeah. Yeah, but if the situation were totally different, I would have been the victor.
I would have won.
Yeah, no, very true. Let's take a look, see if there's any good comments here. Top comment is from Irish Whiskey. And it said, did they complain? Is this a regular thing where you almost always win? Were you rubbing the victory in their faces? If no to these, then there's no question, not the problem. Even if the answer is yes, the answer is usually to just play less competitive games so everyone has fun, not to deliberately avoid trying your best at games.
That's a good comment.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you are consistently winning in this friend group, you may be playing a little harder than the rest of them, or you may be playing games that lend to your strong suits or things like that. Maybe it would, if this is a common problem and you're frequently called out for it or something like that, you know, there's plenty of games that are very fun and that don't necessarily rely as much on strategy.
Yeah. So OP actually responds to that commenter and they say he did complain and I win a very large portion of the games we play, far more than my fair share. We have about 14 people who cycle in and out of the group. Usually we play 4 to 6 player games separating into groups. I have about a 40 to 50% win rate, sometimes by absurd margins. It's not too uncommon for me to lap players on score tracks. So Irish Whiskey responds again and says, okay, why? Because there has to be a reason. If you're just trying way harder than everyone else when they expect a chill vibe, then maybe you are the problem. And then it quotes OP. It says, we have about 14 people who cycle in and out of the group. He responds, you said he did complain. If it's just one person out of 14 this one time, that doesn't sound like an issue. If this is just one example among many where people seem unhappy with your behavior, then again, it could be you are taking things far more seriously than others are comfortable with.
Good insights.
Yeah.
Play some cockroach poker.
Yeah, make sure you're throwing luck games in there.
Yeah.
If your group is noticing a problem like this where you have someone who wins, because I think one of the common themes that comes up for people who don't like board games is that board games can feel like something only smart people can win, or only smart people in a certain way, or, you know, whatever. Make sure you're including variety in your game nights to let people with different types of intelligences have advantage. Yeah. Play some dexterity games to let those people have advantage, and then throw luck in there to make sure that it's, you know, spread out. Or if you have a group that you're all comfortable, then absolutely compete hardcore each other.
Or if your group is only into strategy games, you know, there are groups like that.
Mm-hmm.
A common problem that I've seen before is that if you're only playing new games, sometimes certain players will be quicker at understanding key mechanics of the game, and so they'll pick it up quicker and they'll win the first couple games of playing that strategy game. If that's what's happening, you know, play more repeat games. Give the other players a chance to understand the game more.
Sure. So this poster was voted not the problem. But this comment is interesting because it responds back to the first story we read as well. And it's from Extinct Diplodocus. Thanks for the dinosaur reference. They say, probably not the problem. In a chess game, a skilled player may see checkmate coming and simply topple their own king to signify they concede. Similarly, when your win became inevitable, they didn't have to play to the end and could have just conceded. One reason for not conceding in a multiplayer game is to see who came in second, even if it's a distant second. Ditto third, fourth, etc. Whether you cross the line truly depends on the dynamics of the group. That's impossible for us to judge from here. So we've looked at a general problem with long games. We've looked at a specific instance that's the reverse of that problem. Now we're going to get into a specific long game. A specific long game that most everyone is familiar with. And I asked you to play with me recently. To prime you for this episode. So.
I shall never forgive you.
So this story is about Monopoly. It comes from r/AITA. And it says, AITA for refusing to play Monopoly with my wife.
No, not the problem.
Well, we'll see. My wife loves the board game Monopoly. Unfortunately, my wife doesn't love online Monopoly and refuses to play it on her phone or computer and says it's only fun with me. About 2 months ago, her family visited and we played Monopoly, and this was her first time playing. She had never played. She lost, but she said she wanted to play again to practice so she could beat her family next time they visit. We played about 3 games a day for 2 weeks straight. If you don't know anything about it, Monopoly is not a quick board game. We would spend hours playing. She would also get mad at me for the rest of the night if I would win, so I always avoid winning, which is what I think is fun. Now recently, about last month, we dialed back the Monopoly to once bi-weekly, but today she wanted to play and I told her that I am so bored and exhausted of playing Monopoly that if she doesn't want to play online, then she won't play at all. I tell her I am burnt out and she says, I know it's boring to you, but you know it's fun to me. I tell her I can't last another minute playing that game and she says, you don't care about me enough to play a board game with me? I did not yell at her, but I told her sternly that I will not play Monopoly with her ever again unless there are other people playing with us. Am I the problem for finally telling her how tired and worn out I am of Monopoly? Or should I at least go with it and waste 2 hours per game just for her to win anyways?
My man, there are so many relatable things here, but also so many problems with this story. So let's get into it. I don't like Monopoly with a passion.
Mm.
I grew up in a family that played Monopoly all the time. My dad had the like anniversary Monopoly game sets and things like that.
Okay.
You know, like Monopoly was the game to play.
Got it.
And the reason I don't like Monopoly is because in other games, there's like victory conditions and there's, you know, maybe multiple ways to win or a victory track, multiple ways to progress yourself on the victory track or whatever. In Monopoly, you only win when everyone else is dead.
Yeah. When everyone else is bankrupt, destitute. Impoverished.
Homeless, on the streets, you own everything, no one else owns anything, everyone else is dead.
Yeah, right.
So, because of that, Monopoly can drag on for way longer than it should. And it is so annoying and so frustrating to be in that situation where you're just roll. Move your little counter, roll, move your little guy, roll, move your little guy. Waiting for the time that you land on Boardwalk and finally go bankrupt.
From the first story, crawl one step closer to your inevitable lot.
Right.
$40 at a time. Yeah.
So anyway, thank you for letting me get that out. Let's get back to this specific post.
Sure.
So we can all agree Monopoly sucks. I think we can also all agree that my man's been through the trenches.
Yeah, 3 games a day for 2 weeks is 42 games.
Goodness.
Which is nuts. And then he's like, that was about a month ago. In the last month, I've said we can only play bi-weekly.
Right. Only bi-weekly.
So he's played somewhere between 40 and 50 games since his wife discovered Monopoly.
Yeah. Look, I get it. I get it from the wife's perspective, right? You're playing a game that there's math involved and there are like optimum strategies and things like that, you know, but there's also a lot of luck involved. My advice to your wife is definitely to go join a Monopoly group somewhere or something like that, because there are Monopoly world tournaments. This game's been around for long enough and has all the strategies and all the math mapped out. You know, do some research, go and play in those if you really want to get really into this.
Yeah.
You know, my advice to you is that no, you're not the problem. But also, you probably should have talked to your wife a little earlier.
Maybe around game 25.
Right. I mean, you can hear it in the post. You can hear
it. You can feel the repressed anger.
He's like, she doesn't like losing, and so I just let her win, and I've been doing that for 50 games.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not wrong. I have some thoughts for this wife. But I think that is part of it, is that she wants to play this for practice. And that's just only going to get you so far.
Yeah.
And especially if he's now purposefully losing because he doesn't want to deal with her anger at having lost later, then you're not getting actual practice, one.
Sure.
And two, when you add more people to the game, it changes everything because now it's much harder to monopolize. And then there's luck, like you said. Like, it's just girly pop queen. You gotta cut the man some slack. Like,
yeah.
This is just not gonna get you where you think it's gonna get you. And then if you've played 50 games and then you play with your parents and lose, you're not gonna be happy about that either. Like, it's coming.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, I don't think I've ever, I mean, obviously I played Monopoly with you, despite my detest for it.
Which, I want to be clear, I did not know how strong your feelings were prior, but you did at the end when it was clear that I was going to win at some, or it was pretty clear that I was going to win. You just mortgaged all your stuff and you said, let's see how long it takes my cash to run out.
That's right. Yeah.
So you didn't quite rage quit, but it was, I mean, right there.
I rage quit.
But it was, you know, like, what else were you going to do? Like, instead of doing the math every time to see what you could afford to mortgage or not, you were like, all right, let's
mortgage all of them.
Let's get this
that way
going.
I just have a wad of cash. I can walk around and spend it.
Yeah.
At all of Kaylee's properties.
Yeah. Sorry about it. So I feel, you know, her phrasing for things here. I know it's boring to you, but you know it's fun to me. You don't care about me enough to play a board game with me. Like, okay. That's a little manipulative. You don't want to be phrasing things that way.
That's a little strong. He also said, I will never play with you again unless there's other people involved. You know, like, it, clearly this got out of hand.
Yeah. She's definitely assigning feelings to him that he hasn't claimed himself, which is unfair.
Yeah.
And there are, like, all kinds of sacrifices that you make in marriage. There are things you do that aren't the most enjoyable to you. But OP, the husband here, has demonstrated his commitment to the cause. Like, he has been there 42 games.
Oh, man.
So I feel like it's a little unfair for her to, at this point, still be saying that. Now, what I suspect could be happening is that maybe this is the first game she's ever been introduced to.
Hmm.
And that if you were to say, well, hey, babe, you enjoyed this. Like, let's try Azul. Let's try some of these Wingspan. Like, what, you know, pick some popular board games and see if she's just as interested in other games. And maybe you've got a new board gamer. Like, I'm it's hard to tell here if this is truly just the thing that she really likes or she's found something new and latched on to.
That's fair. This is a real fun thing. I like how it stretches my mind and I like the strategy of it and things like that. Then great. There are plenty of awesome strategy games that aren't Monopoly. Or is this I need to beat my parents next time they're in town?
Sure.
On this specific game.
Yeah, it's true.
I would also say that, I mean, I don't think I've ever said I will never play a game with you unless other people are involved or something like that. You know, I mean, clearly I played Monopoly with you, even though I detest it.
That's very true. Thank you for your sacrifice.
You owe me.
Oh, okay. Oh, no.
I'm kidding. So, I mean, just the way that OP is writing and, you know, you can feel that this probably went on a bit too long. Maybe you should have made your feelings clearer. Maybe you should have posted on Reddit and gotten the internet's advice earlier. But, I mean, at the very least, it's time to go and have a real chat with your wife about this.
Yeah, I agree. Let's look at some comments, because I think everyone's going to be on your side here. This top comment comes from Dittohead Forever, and it says, "You're not the problem." And it quotes him, "We played about 3 games a day for 2 weeks straight. That is more than should be asked of anyone. You just played more games of Monopoly in 2 weeks than I have played in the last 40 years. You have done your time, paid your dues, and gone above and beyond the call of duty. And that is not even taking into account how childishly your wife is behaving about not winning."
Hmm.
So, you know, other than your family, which grew up playing the collector's edition of Monopoly far too often, yeah, I think maybe one game a year is the average.
Yeah. Yeah. You mean other families don't, on when you're at the beach for vacation, play Monopoly inside every day?
Interestingly, no.
Oh, curious.
Okay, this one comes from Fancy and Fab, and it says, "I was fully prepared to vote You're the Problem by the title, but I think I have to go Not the Problem. Monopoly is a major time sink, and she gets upset when you win. It's really not fair to pull the you don't love me card because you don't love spending the equivalent of a part-time job playing a game that you just lose, or you're still in the doghouse. She needs to find some friends to play with. It's okay to do things just your spouse loves sometimes, but not all the time. This is excessive." Yeah, I think putting it in perspective of it being a part-time job is...
Yeah.
Quite clarifying.
Yeah.
To maybe why he's so bitter in this post. This is from Inmar5. And it asks, "Is no one else wondering how the heck they fit 3 games of Monopoly in a day and still manage to work, go out, or cook dinner, see any friends or family, and sleep for the 5 days many people work each week? The last time I played Monopoly, we quit after about 2.5 hours because we were bored. Not the problem, but I don't know how you slept and did that if you work 8 hours."
Yeah, well, maybe they don't want to work 8 hours. Maybe they didn't sleep, and that's what's coming out in OP's post.
She's training for the Monopoly World Tournament, like that's you right. suggested.
Buy a book off of Amazon about Monopoly and... study up on all the strats.
For OP or for his wife?
Oh, for his wife. Okay, no, OP is not allowed to win, remember?
He's done. Let the poor man rest. So since you have such fiery passion about Monopoly, our ending here is going to be taking you some short and sweet posts from Reddit that discuss this board game.
Okay.
I think you'll enjoy them. And they all come from r/showerthoughts. So assuming that husband had time to think, had time to shower, this is maybe what he was thinking in the shower. So this is the first one. It says, "The most popular board game sold by capitalism is about how capitalism doesn't work."
Yeah, fair.
There's a very Reddit comment thread at the end of this. It says, "Dang, I didn't know there were such serious undertones in Mousetrap." Then a response to that says, "The mouse represents modern people trapped in the game of life." under that. It says, meanwhile, the game of life is about the rat race.
Right. How can you not see that?
Oh. This is an interesting one. From r/showerthoughts. The older you get, the longer Monopoly games last because all players become more fiscally responsible.
You no longer trade for your favorite stuff just because it's your favorite?
Yeah, weird. I don't know. That's why we played the Pokemon version when we played, so I could trade for my favorite gems.
Yeah, that's fair.
Another top comment on that says, joke's on you, fiscal responsibility is how you lose at Monopoly. The response to that says, buy. You can't win without property. You can always mortgage it later. And in response to that says, mortgage immediately so you have cash to keep buying.
To keep buying. Yeah, that's what I did.
Oh, geez. We can't end on this one because it's too real. This says, there should be a millennial edition of Monopoly where you just walk around the board paying rent, never able to buy anything.
Until rent runs out. You just hope you make it around to go to next payday.
Yeah, okay, well, they comment on that too. And it says, and every time you pass go, you collect 3% more than last time, but rent goes up 5%. Oh. Last one. Monopoly teaches you that you are more willing to go to jail as you get poorer.
Yeah, jail camping.
Some of these thoughts are just true. Oh, man. Well, final thoughts on long games? Is there a person from one of these stories you don't want to be in a long game with?
Monopoly wife.
I feel like I should have a Scooby-Doo moment where I pull off a mask and I'm like, I'm Monopoly wife the whole time.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. I think we all saw that coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, those are our stories on today's table topic. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. Tell us about it. Maybe you have a story of your own you want to share. We'd love to bring it to the table. Check out our links in the show notes. Good luck on your next game, and we'll catch you again here on Table Topics.